It's time now for Jesus is the Answer with Pastor Peter, coming to you from the International Christian Fellowship in Northeast Philadelphia. International Christian Fellowship is a Bible-believing church that preaches the uncompromised Word of God and prays for you and your needs. Pastor Peter is bringing the message of salvation, healing, and deliverance throughout the world. Now, here is Pastor Peter.
Some people are saying, oh, you got saved, saved forever. Doesn't work that way. We learned last time, he said, helmet of salvation. Why you have to have a salvation on the top of that a helmet? Because you don't lose your salvation. You keep it. If you lose it, you will go to eternal hellfire. That's the way that Jesus Christ said those people worked with him, signs and wonders and miracles and everything. They said, we don't want to hear you. You are talking about eating your flesh and drinking your blood. We don't want to do this. We are going to walk away and we'll never walk with you. Where are they going to go? They're going to go to hell. They say we did miracles, this and that. He said, I don't know you, because he erased their names out of his mind. That's what happens. And what he's trying to say, you are a bad man. Wherever is not sown, you go and gather there. So he is trying to find a fault in God. And that's what the people are. They live sinful life. And they don't get job, they don't get money, they don't get there, they blame God. You cannot blame God. You have to look at your situation. Why are you in this situation? God is not unjust. God has given you everything. But you are the one losing it, what God has given. And that's what the problem is. Okay, let's read verse 31. Now, we see first example, now second example, now Jesus Christ is giving a third example.
When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goat.
Now here is saying, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory. Now, people are thinking, when Jesus Christ comes and set up his throne, and right away he's going to judge the people and send them to hell? No. First of all, when he comes, in Revelation chapter 19, when he comes, get hold of Antichrist, get hold of false prophet, put them in a lake of fire, destroy their armies, calls the birds of heaven, eat their flesh, and when they were destroyed, their king, who is the Satan, is called old serpent, get hold of him, tie him for 1,000 years, putting in a bottomless pit, and then 1,000 years kingdom starts. Now when he is going to judge these people, let's go to the book of Revelation chapter 20, start reading from verse 11.
And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them.
The earth and heaven fled away. And other prophets will tell you, this world is going to be here forever. What is he saying? Earth and the heaven will pass away. Read up to 15.
And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire.
This is the final judgment. And so when this judgment is done, when the earth and heaven will pass away. I'll give one more scripture and then I'll come back. St. John chapter 5, start reading from verse 28.
Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice. And shall come forth, they that have done good, unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil, unto the resurrection of damnation.
The judge is Jesus Christ. And all these people who are dead, from the Genesis until the last person dies in the millennium, because millennium people will be dying. So the last person who died in the millennium, and from the Genesis, all these sinners will be separated according to where their name is written. That's why he said the goats left hand, the sheep in the right hand. And some people say, oh, they are goat nations and sheep nations. There's nothing goat nation and sheep nation. This is the people who work according to the will of God, who are godly people, whose name is written in the book of life, or their name is written in the Lamb's book of life. Those people will be separated. But for the believers, there is no judgment. St. John chapter 5, read verse 24.
Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, and believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life.
If you are living in Christ, then we have no judgment. In the white throne judgment is not for us. This is for wicked, and the people who lived without Christ, and somebody's names are written in the book of life, this Old Testament people and other people. But we won't be there in that judgment. Now, the point I was telling you, I will show you this earth and heaven will pass away, because this called the white throne judgment is not on earth. Go to the Revelation chapter 21 and verse 1.
And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea.
See, here he's saying the heaven and earth passed away. So now, if you say passed away, that doesn't mean it's still there. And so, there won't be heaven, earthly heaven, and earthly land. God is going to make a white throne judgment somewhere in outer space and judge everybody. And so, that's why this earth has to go, this heaven has to go, and new heaven and new earth will be established. Okay, let's go to Matthew chapter 25, starting from verse 32.
And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, and fed thee? Or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me.
Do you know who these people were? He says he will say to the righteous. The righteous people, the godly people, born-again people, they are the one helping poor, needy, and all the people who are suffering in this world. When the disaster comes, who goes to rescue the people? Even though they are in Muslim country, they are in Hindu country, America goes first. Why? Because America is a Christian nation. Some people do not want to call America as a Christian, but it was a Christian nation, and still majority are Christians. So the born-again people are taught to help your brother, love your brother, and help other people, give them food, give them shelter, give them... And so these people, nobody has to tell you this, the Spirit of God will lead you to do good things. Because if you read in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, it says, God has created us in Christ Jesus to do good things. Please read.
For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them.
See, God has before ordained, before the foundation of the world, God wanted us to be doing some things. Because he said, come, this kingdom is for you. God has prepared you before the foundation of the world. So we are in the mind of God. The word of God says without Christ, our works are the filthy rags. We cannot do good things when you are living in sin. Even though somebody says, oh, sinners are doing good things, but their good things are not counted as good because God looks at your heart. If you're doing heartly things, then those good things. Some sinners, they do good things for fame and some gain. Believers, they don't do for fame and gain. They do it because they think this brother is my brother and I have to help him. The word of God says, if your brother is hungry and thirsty, give it to him. And that's what the word of God is teaching. So he says, to the righteous people, he'll say, you did it to one of my brethren, he did it to me. Okay, let's go back to the Matthew chapter 25, starting from verse 41.
Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels.
See what he's trying to say? Those people, he said, you are cursed. Cursed people. But see, Galatians chapter 3 verse 13, he says, Jesus Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. We were all cursed. What was the curse? The death penalty was the highest curse because Adam committed sin. So if somebody doesn't come to Christ, does not recognize Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, the death, the curse hangs on them. It doesn't go away. The curse is only gone because of Jesus Christ. Okay, so what happened here? You are cursed. Now, other religious people, they don't know. They're thinking we are innocent people. We are good people. We are generous people. We are doing this and we are doing that. No, the word of God says, I'm looking at your heart. I'm not looking at what you're doing. What is the good thing? The word of God says, what is the good thing we can do? The only good thing you can do, receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That's the best deed you can do. All other things are useless. If the person did not receive Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, he might be doing billion good things. God is not going to recognize him. The same way so many people praying. Hindus are praying, then Muslims are praying, and everybody is praying. Their prayer will not be answered. What the word of God says, my ear is not deaf, my hand is not shortened, but your sin came between you and me, I cannot hear you. When the believers are praying, that prayer also will not be answered if you don't pray in Jesus' name. There are some television preachers you might have seen. I don't have to give their names. They pray maybe 10, 15 minutes and say, praise the Lord. And everybody says, praise the Lord. There is no amen. There is no in Jesus' name. So our prayer has to go through Jesus. Otherwise, that prayer will not be recognized. Because God is not going to recognize us without the blood of Jesus Christ or without Christ. God only sees us through the blood of Jesus Christ. And then he says, you are righteous because your sins are forgiven, washed, cleansed. And so that's what he's saying. The righteous people, he says, you did it to my brethren. You did it to my least ones. So you did it to me. Saul was persecuting the church. And when Jesus Christ came and talked to him, what did he say? Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? He did not say, why are you persecuting my Christian people? He said, you are persecuting me. That means if somebody persecute the children of God, they are persecuting Christ. If somebody helping the children of God, Jesus said, you are helping me. Verse 42.
For I was in hungry, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, or athirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these things shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal.
What is their punishment? Everlasting punishment means they are going to go to eternal hellfire. Not because they did not give food and this and that. He is just giving an example. First of all, he said other people were righteous. That's why they did it. That's why he says Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10. In Christ only you can do good things. Without Christ, we cannot do any good things. They are trying to do it. God is not approving. Their prayers, their works, everything is no good. Doesn't mean these people didn't give anything anybody. He says you did not do it to my people, my brethren, least one of Christians. See, if you are not helping your own brother in Christ, and you giving $1 million to charity somewhere else, and your brother, Christian brother, is suffering, God is not going to give you reward for $1 million going to somebody else to for your name. He's looking at, are you helping your brother in Christ? And that's what it is. God has called us with a definite high calling. And so our job is to improve the Lord's work. Now here we got three examples he gave. Example of virgins, what kind of readiness they need. Then he gave the talents example, what kind of work they're supposed to do. And then he gave the last example, how much you can help the brothers and sisters in Christ. All these things the born again child of God will do. You don't have to tell them to do this, do this, do this, because if you say do, people think this is some kind of command and we are under the law or something. No, you don't have to say anything to do anything. If somebody is born again Christian, you don't have to tell him, hey, why don't you go and tell somebody about Jesus? You don't have to. If I received Jesus Christ, if I got healed, and if I got so many miracles, nobody has to tell me to go and tell. I will tell. Jesus Christ said to those people, don't tell anybody. But those other people went and told so many people what Jesus Christ did. So, point I'm making, we are in this world. We are preparing ourselves as well as we should prepare others. Otherwise, we will be selfish. Somebody says, oh, I don't want this, my neighbor, to go to heaven because he's a bad person. And so, what you're trying to say, I don't want him to come to church, I don't want him to come to Bible study, I don't want him to learn more because I don't want him to go to hell. There is other person, it's just his example. He said, I went to heaven and he died and went to heaven. And he said, there are some of the pastors, some of the good people. I was thinking those people died, so I was looking for them and I could not find them. And some of the bad people I saw on earth, I never thought I can see them in heaven, but I saw those bad people in heaven. How it works? Jesus Christ said to the Sadducees and Pharisees, there are sinners and publicans. They will come to the heaven and you will be cast out in the darkness. How it works? Because those people repented. Jesus Christ was called the friend of the sinners. Did he become sinner? No. He went and taught them repentance and brought them to Christ. The time is very short. You see the signs of his coming. Jesus Christ is coming very soon. There is nothing has to happen to Jesus to come. But there are some Jewish Christians, they will tell you, oh, he might come in Rosh Hashanah. He might come in Feast of Trumpet, and this and that. When you keep on looking at those days, and that's the day you thinking, oh, he will be coming that day. He says, the day and the hour, only God knows. No angels and nobody. But he says, Father knows, and Father did not give me permission to tell you, so I'm not telling you. That's the way it is. Because you remember, somebody asked him, could you tell me what authority you're doing these things? He would have said, God sent me and I'm doing in God's authority. But he said, I'll ask you one question. The John's baptism was from heaven or from earth? Tell us. They start thinking, if you say from heaven, then why are you not listening to him? If you say from earth, then his disciples and some other people will kill us. Oh, we don't know. We cannot tell. And Jesus said, I'm also not telling you what authority I'm doing. The same way, when they ask the question, tell us when you're coming, he did not want to pinpoint the date. Otherwise, if you would have said such and such a month, such and such a date, then nobody will come to Christ. Everybody start committing sin. Oh, 2012 or 2015 is coming, so we will wait until then. Many, many people would have gone to hell. So he said, I'm coming as a thief in the night. I'm not telling you what time I'm coming because only Father knows. So what we have to do? He said, watch and what? Pray that you should escape the troubled time coming. So when we are awake or we are asleep, if you are righteous and living for God, we will not go in a tribulation. God has not called us for wrath. We are in Book of Matthew, chapter 26. We're going to start from verse 1.
And it came to pass, when Jesus had finished all these sayings, he said unto his disciples, Ye know that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified. Then assembled together the chief priests, and the scribes, and the elders of the people, unto the palace of the high priest, who was called Caiaphas. And they consulted that they might take Jesus by subtlety and kill him.
Okay, now here you see, last two chapters, if you remember, Jesus Christ took his disciples on the Mount Olive, and they asked the questions about his coming and the end of the world. And Jesus explained to them. And that's why he's saying, when all of these things finished, he started telling them, now within 2 days, they will be Passover. And then he was trying to tell them that these people are going to betray me. At that time, did not say his disciple, but Son of Man is going to be betrayed, and those people are going to kill him. And now these people were always thinking about how to kill Jesus, and they were looking for opportunity, but it was difficult for them because hundreds and thousands of people following Christ. And we learn in the early chapters in Luke chapter 4, he went to the synagogue, he took a book, he opened to the chapter 61 of Isaiah, and he opened it and read it, and he says, in front of your eyes, this scripture is fulfilled. And he was trying to prove it to them that I am Messiah. And they didn't like it, and they wanted to push him from the mountain cliff and kill him, but he disappeared from them. So many times they wanted to kill him, but they were not able to do it. Now this was his timing. Okay, verse 5.
But they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar among the people. Now when Jesus was in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment, and poured it on his head as he sat at meat.
Okay, now this story is given in Mark as well as in John, but we will be coming to that later on. But here he says he was in the house of Simon the leper. Now, I don't know if that Simon is the husband of Mary or what the relationship they have with this Mary. Now, this Mary who brings the very costly perfume, in St. John chapter 12, they said she was the sister of the Lazarus. And Martha and Mary, they were two sisters. But now here, Lazarus' sister, Mary, bringing this very costly perfume. Okay, verse 8.
But when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, To what purpose is this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor.
Here we read, most of the disciples said, why this has done, we should have given this, sell this perfume, and then give this money to the poor. But actually the leader, the one person who had the box, or the treasurer, that was the Judah. Go to the St. John chapter 12 and start reading from verse 4 to 6.
Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief, and had the bag, and bare what was put therein.
In Matthew doesn't say that Judas said it. He just said most of the other disciples said it. But the John particularly said Judah was the one saying it. And he was not concerned about the poor, but he's concerned about some money he can steal it and put it in his pocket. That was his idea. And so you can see the Bible says the love of money is root of all evil. That is in 1 Timothy chapter 6 we read. But here we see what happens when he did not get the money. He did not get any saying, so he was a little bit angry. Okay, let's read, go back to the Matthew, to 26, start reading from verse 10.
When Jesus understood it, he said unto them, Why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. For ye have the poor always with you, but me ye have not always.
When somebody reads this scripture and say, Jesus Christ says, I will be with you always. And now why he's saying, I will be not with you always? He said to the disciples, now they see me, but the day will come when I go to heaven, I will come back in a spirit. So they will not see me, but you will know it. That's why in St. John chapter 14, he says, I will come and I'll bring my Father with me and we will make our home in you. That is in St. John chapter 14, verse 23. But he even told them the Holy Spirit will come and guide you and lead you in all truth. I will not keep you as an orphan. But here he says, I will be not with you always. He's talking about the bodily. Okay, verse 12. Go back to the Matthew.
For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this, that this woman hath done, be told for a memorial of her. Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priests, and said unto them, What will ye give me, and I deliver him unto you? And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. And from that time he sought opportunity to betray him. Now the first day of the feast of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, Where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover? And he said, Go into the city to such a man, and say unto him, The Master saith, My time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples.
Now, he did not tell what man was, but it was arranged. In another gospel says, Go and one man will be carrying the pitcher of water, follow him, and then he will let you know. So his boss was going to arrange. And where they arranged it? They arranged it in upper room. And there they had the Passover feast. Verse 19.
And the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover. Now when the even had come, he sat down with the 12. And as they did eat, he said, Verily I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. And they were exceeding sorrowful, and began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? And he answered and said, He that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me.
You've been listening to Jesus is the Answer with Pastor Peter of International Christian Fellowship in Northeast Philadelphia. If this program has been a blessing to you, please let Pastor Peter know. Write to Pastor Peter at Post Office Box 5033, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19111. Again, that's Pastor Peter, Box 5033, Philadelphia, PA, 19111. Pastor Peter and his prayer partners are taking your calls right now. The number is 215-342-3759. Again, that's 215-342-3759. You can also send email to icfprayerline@comcast.net. Every Sunday at 11 a.m., International Christian Fellowship has a worship service with communion and healing service. You can find more information at www.internationalchristianfellowship.org. This is a faith ministry. Your prayers and financial support are greatly appreciated. And please remember to tune in next time for Jesus is the Answer.